Hey, I'll start with some scripture and then we'll get into just a few thoughts. So just want to read from Psalm 46:10. You won't need to look this up. It's so short, it'll be gone before you know it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Great verse, eh? I like that verse. It's so simple that even I can remember it. It's good. How about I pray? Father, we just pray as we take time to think about you, look at your word, that you would be with us and you would speak to us, Father, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this weekend is the very first public holiday of recognising Matariki. Isn't that cool? So it's been recognised for a long time, but we have officially started to recognise it and actually attribute a day off to it. So I've kind of been thinking about that as we come up to us doing some reading about it. I've probably read about as much as you guys, so I'm not an expert at it. I just want to try and get my head around what does it mean and that. So I thought I'd just kind of share some thoughts around that and around what we can bring to it today and kind of going forward. So I don't know how much you know about it, but Matariki recognises a group of seven stars, one of which is called Matariki. The kind of, if you see pictures, it's kind of the bottom right sort of one. And it's also known and been recognised for a long, long time. So it's not a new discovery or anything, but it's just we're recognising it and knowing it. Although Māori have known of it for a long, long time. But us Pākehā like myself and that are just playing catch up on this. But we've known it as other names like the Seven Sisters and whatnot. And the three key kind of things about that it notes in my reading about it is it's a really good time to spend time reflecting. And I think that's great. It's a really good time to reflect. It's a good time to be thankful for all the good stuff that's happened to us in life. It's a good time to think about people that have been precious to us and some of them we carry on our hearts now they're passed on. But we carry them in our heart. It's a time where we can think biblically of people that have come before us, the people who have run the great races of faith and left their mark. And we live out their faith journey, don't we? As Paul said, you know, copy me as I copy him, you know, effectively. And so it's that. And it's also a great time to come and do some thinking about the future, what's happening in the future. And obviously Matariki, one of the very good things about it, or very useful things, was it was a time to plan for the planting of crops in preparation. And so if the Matariki was very clear in the sky, Māori would know to plant their crops in September. And if it was hazy and not clear, then they would put it off to October. But it does note in my readings that this does vary a little bit from tribe to tribe and area to area. So it's not set in stone. It's just that's just one kind of thought around it. But I thought I've been pondering that, been thinking about what about us, and I really like it. I really like those thoughts. I like what it symbolises. I like the fact that we spend time in gratitude at things. We I was thinking this morning, the last few years has been a strange few years, hasn't it? It's not been like any other kind of few years, really. Sorry, pause and drink for effect. Plus, I'm thirsty. I remember back to the 70s. Who remembers the carless days, the petrol shortages of the 70s? Now, I was a kind of young chap at those stages. I think I was about, 7 or 8 when that happened. And And I guess for people living in that period, they thought, flip, is this the end of the world? We're running out of petrol. You know, how many do remember that a little bit clearly than that? Were there all those kind of, were there people saying, yay, the end is near. God is coming back. That's a good message, by the way. God is coming back, because he is. But, you know, then we get through to now, and we hit sort of COVID, and the last 3 years has really been messy. I don't know about for you. I think we've done it really, really well, collectively and as well as we could. But it's still been, it's been quite bizarre, hasn't it? It's been quite strange. I don't know how you've found it. I found it quite weird. And trying to get back to some kind of, well, as normal is going to look like from now on, getting back to what normal, what, you know, is a little bit of a challenge. But within that, I'm still thankful for what has, the good stuff that's happened. I'm thankful that, you know, for the good stuff that I see God doing in people's lives. I'm thankful for the miracles that I see him doing in people's lives. I'm thankful for the love that still exists in people towards God and towards one another. I'm thankful for the fact that I've watched a church that's looked after one another through COVID, who have been on the phone ringing around and checking up on one another. And when someone's needed something, they've been there. You know, they've found, I don't know how many times I've talked to someone and they've said someone was a bit low. So they went for their walk around the block or wherever they were allowed to go. And they had a kind of distant chat, you know, it's kind of face to face, but with distance between out on the veranda or something, or over the fence with a neighbour or something. Through the situation and that. So we've looked after one another, haven't we? And people have been really, you know, really helped by that. And so that's really great to remember and to think about. I was thinking about the Bible in regards to this, and, you know, matariki, things like matariki have been set up in the Bible. You know, the Passover meal was a meal where they would remember the fact that the angel of death had passed over the people of Israel and spared them. And so in years following that, they would recognize that and be thankful to God for that. And so there's feasts, there's all kinds of kind of altars set up to, one, to remember, and two, to be excited for something in the future that, you know, that was coming. And so this all fits really nicely into that, doesn't it? It's a time for self-reflection. How are we doing? How are you doing? How are you going? How are you doing? Good. Some are good. Yeah. Some maybe not so. What can we do about that? Where are we going? How do we get there? And what do we need to get ready to do that? The thing I recognize with this is God wants to be part of all this discussion. God doesn't want to be left in a room on the side while we ask all these questions. God wants to sit with us. And, you know, last week we had this beautiful worship time. And it was just about just being. Remember, we talked about just being in his presence, just coming and kneeling with God, just coming and kneeling with Jesus. And God wants to be part of that discussion today, where he just sits with us and we constantly are just being reflective and being thankful, and God is part of all the stuff. He's part of the fun times, he's part of the sad times, he's part of the good times and the bad times and whatever goes. God wants to be wrapped up and intertwined in all these situations. How many remember there's an old song we used to sing at church called Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart? What a great song that was. How many like that song? I was thinking about this song yesterday and I said, I wonder if we should sing it in church. I should just break out. But no, I won't. I will spare you the vocals. It was written by a man called Henry Smith. back in the 1970s, I think 1974 from memory. Henry Smith couldn't get work after he had finished biblical studies at seminary school. He was unemployed. Things weren't looking good financially for them. He had a degenerative eye condition that would lead to him going blind. And he was inspired by a sermon that he heard about always looking to God and always giving thanks. And guess what? He wrote this song. Out of his troubles, he wrote this song. And I'll just read it to you. Just one verse. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. It's quite amazing. I was reading a little bit more about Henry Smith. He wrote 300 songs. 300 songs. This was the only song that was published. And it wasn't published by him. He played it just soon after it had been written to some people who were, I think they were missionaries in Russia, and they were back in the United States at that time. And they heard it, and they, I think, recorded it on a cassette and took it to Russia. And within no time at all, it had become a big hit in Russia. And then it got picked up by some Christian, I can't remember which organization it was, but one of the Christian organizations got it. And they recorded it. And a guy called Don Moen actually heard it and recorded it. And so many people thought that he had written it, and it was wrongly ascribed to Don Moen as being one of his songs. But it wasn't. It was this guy, Henry Smith. And so when it became this big hit, he contacted the publishers and they said, we've been trying to figure out, we've published author unknown, because it's never, no one had tried to say I wrote it. It had just been wrongly attributed to someone. So it was rightly attributed to him. But isn't that incredible? He wrote 300 songs and only one was published, and it was this incredible song. And I remember when we sang it, it was such a powerful, incredible song to sing. I want to go back to this psalm. So I started with, be still and know that I am God, right? So I want to read the psalm. The psalm that it comes from is actually a song. And it's a time of looking to God despite troubles. And so we'll just read through. So Psalm 46, and it says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with the surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. A song of victory. A song that's saying, despite what we see, this is what we know. And I was thinking, isn't that applicable today? There is a war going on the other side of this world. you know, that is fierce and people are dying every day, you know, and we can approach it in the same way, that we can rest and that God will take control. God is in control. Things may look out of control and they may be out of control, but God is always in control. It's a weird, weird thing to try and reconcile with our mind, but God is always in control. He allows things to happen and looks like he's not in control, but he's in control. He's taken his hands off situations and he lets them run their course, the course that he's decided that they will run. It's quite amazing. Carrying on with thankfulness. I think I shared this story, but Jill, are you in the... Jill Anderson. Jill Anderson had something happen to her earlier in the year, and I've been just looking for an excuse to get her on stage to share about it. So this is that excuse right here. Come up here, Jill. I love this lady. This lady is... Can I... You're good?
There you go. Right. All right. Well, I went to the New Wine Festival earlier this year, and I hadn't been feeling very well. I'd been getting quite a lot of infections, which turned into making my muscles go into spasm up in my shoulders and my neck. And so I came along to the New Wine Festival, thoroughly enjoyed it, came to Saturday night where they had a healing and they were calling people up. And I thought, oh, there were so many coming up. And I thought, no, I won't go up. I'll be fine. I'll be good as gold. And that was fine. They called you up. And then the minister got up and he said, somebody here with a right shoulder pain needs to come up for healing. And I thought, oh, that's me. Gosh, yes, it's my shoulder. So I thought, I reluctantly got out of my chair, but I thought it must be me. So I came up front. I got some prayer. I went back and sat down. And I thought, oh, I can move it. Oh, this is rather good. And from that day to this, I haven't had another infection or pain in my shoulder. So praise the Lord, and I'm very thankful.
Isn't that good? The God that doesn't do miracles anymore, some believe. How foolish are they? Jeanette, you had something exciting happen that same day, didn't you? How about you come up and share that? I just want to reinforce this is the God that doesn't do miracles, supposedly.
Again, it was the new wine, and I thought the call for the right shoulder. And about 2 weeks later, I realised that my right shoulder had not played up, and I realised that I've been healed and I haven't had any trouble since.
Isn't that cool? If he can do it for them, he can do it for all of us. He can do it for you. Isn't that cool? Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, I'm not interested in the second part of that. I just love the fact that we are told, do not get tired of doing good. I don't do good because of the second part, because I'm going to get more or get stuff from it. I just do good because I want to do good because it makes me feel better. That is enough for me. If God chooses to give me on top of that, that's completely unnecessary. But, you know, but he does what he wants to do. If he, you know, but doing good to others, you just feel so good. Why not do it? So that's a good thing to come out of this as well. So we reflect, we think. How, you know, have you got people in your life that you carry in your heart now that come to mind that we think about? Because, I mean, the last year we have lost people. People have passed on. So it's a good time to just pause and reflect on that as well. But also preparation for the future, being good, sowing into the future. This world will not get better if people don't sow into the future and take steps and make their mark and pay it forward as they say. Gina, do you want to just come up and share? I've just got a little piece written by a guy called Craig Groeschel. And it's just around, I just had this thought that it would be good to share this as another reminder that God is always wanting to equip us and give us everything we need for the future going forward in that. So here's a little story about that.
Awesome. It's from Divine Direction by Craig Groeschel. Oops, sorry. It says this. I vividly remember the first real step of faith I took towards God. I was a sophomore in college, and I wasn't a follower of Christ yet, far from it. I was vice president of my fraternity chapter that year, and we were in hot water for our outrageous behaviour. We were in so much trouble that the college considered closing our chapter. Our fraternity had already had a couple of meetings to discuss what we could do to appease everybody, but none of us had any really good ideas. For some time, I'd been thinking about how I could start exploring what God was all about, and suddenly I recognised I had the opportunity to kill two birds with one stone. So I went to my drinking buddy fraternity brothers with a radical proposal. "Listen, guys, I think I know what we should do. Let's start a Bible study." Several of the guys groaned and rolled their eyes. "Are you smoking weed, Groeschel? No way, man." "No, I really mean it," I insisted. "Let's just think this through. We need a really good public relations move, right? What could improve our image better than starting a Bible study?" The pushback was immediate. "No one's going to fall for that. And besides, none of us wants to do that. A Bible study, are you crazy?" But being vice president had its advantages. "No, I'm not. And yes, we are going to do it. Tuesday night at 7. Starting this week, we're having our first Bible study." They weren't happy, but they could tell I wasn't going to back down. Unfortunately, it was about midday on that Tuesday before it finally occurred to me that I lacked at least one prerequisite for conducting a Bible study. I didn't have a Bible. Today we take for granted that we can just download a free Bible app, like YouVersion, for instance, and have hundreds of versions to choose from. But that day, all I could think was, where am I going to get a Bible by tonight? I was still mumbling on my way across campus to class when I noticed an older gentleman walking down the sidewalk towards me. He wore a suit and tie and a broad, warm smile. As he approached, our eyes met and he said, "Young man, would you like a free Bible?" My brain felt like it was overheating. How could this guy possibly know I need a Bible? Do I look like I need a Bible? Is it really that obvious? I blurted something along the lines of, yes, please, I need a Bible. He handed me a tiny paperback book, small enough to fit in my pocket, and walked away still smiling. I later learned that this man was a Gideon, a volunteer with Gideon's International, an organisation that distributes free Bibles all over the world. If you've ever looked in the drawer of a hotel room dresser, you've probably seen the results of their work. Just like that, God provided me with a Bible I needed, even though I didn't know him yet. A few hours later, I strolled into my first ever Bible study, brand new Bible in my hand, where seven of my party buddies, none of whom were Christians, were waiting for me. If God could provide me with a Bible so easily, I couldn't wait to see what he had in store for this little gathering.
Isn't that a cool story? He would go on to obviously follow Christ and is now a pastor, pastoring a multi-church campus in America and a fantastic mentor to other pastors as well. But God linked on with him, saw his need, and said, "I can do one better." Isn't that cool? And in your lives today, God can do one better. as you plan to go forward the next year. We'll come back to this next year again. We'll probably look back. But God is excited to be on the journey with you. He's excited the fact that there is a harvest planned. He's excited the fact that you're going to plant some seeds and do some stuff for him and leave your mark. Isn't that cool? I'll pray and we're done. Father, as we come to you, Father, we thank you for Matariki. We thank you that it's an opportunity for us to yet again come and look at where we're at with you. Look at the good stuff that's happened. Consider those that have moved on and the lives that have impacted us, the lives that are examples to us that spur us on to run harder for you. And we look to the opportunities that you've given us for the future. Father, to leave our mark for you. Father, to tell people about you. To share you with others. To be loving. To be your hands and your feet to others who need it. And Father, we pray that you help us. We pray you give us the tools, the resources, the strength, the knowledge, the braveness to run the race for you. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As I always say, take God out. Be his hands and feet this week. How does that sound? There's someone dying to hear that Jesus loves him. Literally dying to hear Jesus loves him. Have a great week. See ya.